Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The following is a presentation of the Belly Up Sports Media Network.
Here's what's cooking on today's Sports Stove Podcast. It's March Madness. We'll talk about the brackets, NFL moves, some Major League Baseball, and of course, NASCAR. Recapping the great race in Bristol, looking ahead to fantasy racing at COTA. That's what's cooking on today's Sports Stove Podcast.
From Belly Up Sports and the Belly Up Podcast Network, you're listening to the Sports Stove Podcast with your host, Vince Stover.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up in
me? Welcome in to an all-new edition of the Sports Stove Podcast presented by Righteous Felon Jerky. Now is the time to join the flavor revolution. You can do it at righteousfelon.com. Use the code STOVE15, STOVE15. You're going to get 15% off your purchase. Welcome into the show. I'm your host, Vince Stover, joined as I am every Wednesday by my dad, Dale Stover. Dad, how you doing?
Doing good, boy. Great time for sports with the madness starting here and everything. And, you know, just a whole lot of things going on, it seems like, almost every sport. So a lot to keep up with, and it's, a very fun time. But, these next couple of weeks, well, March Madness is always one of my favorites. So,
yeah, it is. You know, we had I had four fantasy baseball drafts, two on Sunday, two on Tuesday. Helped somebody else with another one. I was basically doing three at one time, and it was incredibly hard to do. But baseball season actually kicked off this morning. I don't even know what day it is. So that's finally rolling. Of course, the major starts off, next week. But nonetheless, baseball is rolling. NBA is coming down to the playoffs. NHL is winding down as well. NFL draft is in full blow right now. With trades, free agency, and speculation. And then throw on top of that, what I like to call the cherry on top, is the NCAA March Madness and the brackets. I mean, we start games tomorrow. It doesn't feel like we're there, but we start games tomorrow, and it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. I've got a bracket in at work. We've got a bracket here for the family as well, so we got that going on. And then also tonight is the start of the women's NIT tournament, which EKU is in. And so they're playing tonight. I'll be following that as well. And they're currently tied 48-48 with 1:45 to go in the third quarter, playing Purdue Fort Wayne in the women's NIT. So lots of stuff going on. We're going to start off with the bracket, though, and look at college basketball tournament that's starting up again tomorrow, and of course it'll be all basketball all weekend, watching everything that goes on. So let's get started, Dad. And what we're going to do is we're going to look in the East first, the UConn segment, and look through this bracket. I want to start off talking about games that excite you in the first round of the East bracket.
Well, of course, a game I'd be interested in would be the Illinois game because, I follow Illinois being I grew up in the state there and everything. There's potential maybe for some big upsets. I don't know that I've picked a whole lot of them. But as far as first round games, probably the teams that are closer ranked, you know, should be the better games. But again, I think everything's pretty wide open this year. And I think that could definitely be true in this bracket. Like I said, I've picked a few upsets, but some that I haven't, a team like Iowa State and South Dakota State. I mean, you know, that's just classic setup for an interesting game. And we'll see how things go there.
Moorhead State is really, really good this year, Dad. I'm not sure. Illinois won't take them lightly, I don't think. There's been enough big upsets the last several years, dating back to Virginia losing as a one seed, then Purdue losing. There's been enough big upsets that these teams do not take lightly round one. But Moorhead State is a real threat there against Illinois. And Illinois is good. They won the Big Ten, but definitely a threat there. Yeah, I don't see a whole lot of upsets in round one in the East bracket. I don't know. I always like to look at that 8-9. That's not an upset, of course. But FAU and Northwestern, which direction are you going at the 8-9 game?
Yeah, I pick FAU in that one. I mean, I've followed them just a little bit, this year, and at least kept up with, they were doing real good there at the start of the year. So I think they'll hold on. But like I said, yeah, an 8-9 game, those actually could go either way.
Yeah, I like just the higher seeds in this bracket. San Diego State, they've got veteran presence there. Auburn over Yale, BYU to me is just the pick. Illinois, I've got them over Moorhead, although I think it could be a fun game. Washington State looks like a really fun team, Dad. So usually you get to that 7-10 game. It's kind of easy to pick the 10 sometimes. But I like Washington State there as well. I like the favorites in the East bracket to start us off in round one. And we'll come back. We'll look at our final four. Well, let's talk through this bracket a little bit, I guess.
Yeah. I have a few upsets there. I have UAB again. I've followed them a little bit because they used to be in the conference with one of the teams I follow. They can play pretty well. Duquesne, I watched them a little bit in their tournament game. Has a good team against BYU. And Drake has had a really, really good season. So I don't know much about Washington State. Maybe they'll handle it. I do know if Drake was to win, then the next game with them and Iowa State would be a very interesting game, both being from the state of Iowa from there. So we will see. For the fun of it, like I said, I did pick Drake, Duquesne, and UAB as far as underdogs, but we'll see.
Big upset in the East, Dad. I'm curious to see kind of which way you lean, not necessarily in the first round. For instance, for me, I don't have any major upsets, but I've got Washington State advancing to the Sweet 16, beating Iowa State in round number two. Do you have any of those lower seed teams going further into the tournament?
No, like I said, the teams in the Sweet 16, I would have all the favored teams there, Connecticut, Auburn, Illinois, and Iowa State. Though I think Auburn's a team that can be upset, they can play very good at times too. So,
okay. Let's drop down to the West bracket, North Carolina, the one seed there. To me, this has the most opportunity for a team to make a run, a lower seed team to make a run. I don't know. I think this is a really tough bracket. You look at that again. I judge a lot of the brackets by the 8-9 seeds we have sitting there. Mississippi State and Michigan State, neither one had great years, of course, but I wouldn't be surprised to see either of them make a run at the same time. For me, I went ahead and went with Grand Canyon over St. Mary's. That's my big upset in the West. Grand Canyon's on a run right now. Solid program. And so is St. Mary's, of course, as well. But I don't know. I'm taking a shot. They've got Grand Canyon's got a kid, Tyon Grant Foster, who's putting up a ton of points. He's aggressive on the boards too. I just kind of like what Grand Canyon did this year. And like I said, they got a little bit of a swagger to him as well. So that's kind of my upset in the West bracket in round number one. Looking through real quick to see it. The story, Dad, with Long Beach State is phenomenal. The head coach gets fired. They're going to let him finish out the year. He goes on and wins the tournament, conference tournament, makes the NCAA tournament. He walks up to the podium for media availability today, and he says, I don't have to answer any questions I don't want to answer because I'm not getting paid for this. So he's having a good time with it. The Long Beach State kids are playing for him. They are a 15 seed playing against a really good Arizona. I don't have them beating Arizona, but it's a fun story, needless to say. And then our buddy Nate Oates in there at number four. I say our buddy. I've never talked to Nate, but know his dad, and I've tried to get him on the show, and Alabama refuses to let him come on. I almost had him on the show, and he's like, wait a second, I should probably ask the university, and the university said no. So that being said, still, I like to cheer for Nate Oates, even though he is at Alabama. Yeah. All right, so first round in the West, any intriguing games or upsets there?
The only upset I have is not, you know, a big upset because it's 8 and 9. Again, I'm kind of partial to the Big Ten, so I picked Michigan State over Mississippi State there, but, you know, I wouldn't feel super strongly about that. As far as other good games in the first one, I had everyone coming through. I don't know much about New Mexico. Clemson, you know, might be vulnerable there. But outside of Michigan State, I picked the ranked teams.
We think that about New Mexico and Clemson because when we think of Clemson, we don't think basketball. And it's just odd to see them, you know, unless you watched ACC and you watched Clemson play. New Mexico actually sounds like a better basketball school than Clemson. And I think we lean that direction sometimes. I did not pick New Mexico, but for me, anytime I see Clemson in basketball, I'm kind of like, they can't be any good. They're a football school. Needless to say, do you have any teams making a run, say to the Sweet 16, that'd be unexpected?
The team I have in the Sweet 16 there, which I guess would be a surprise, would be Baylor. I've kind of got Baylor coming all the way through there, being able to beat Arizona. So that's kind of what I've looked at there. So,
yeah, well, that would be the Sweet 16 matchup, Baylor and Arizona.
Yeah, Baylor and Arizona, but I had Baylor moving on even after that. So, but I think Baylor could be a little bit of an issue in this. So.
Yeah, I've got all chalk in the Sweet 16 for this bracket, 1 through 4. I feel pretty comfortable about that. We'll come back to our Final Four, by the way, in a moment if you're listening and wondering, why aren't they talking about that? We're going to get there in just a minute. Let's jump over to the South bracket. This is a bracket where I just see opportunity for a lot of teams, Dad. If you're Houston, you're feeling pretty good that you got the one seed in this bracket. If you're Marquette, you're feeling pretty good that you got the two seed in this bracket. If you're Kentucky, you're feeling ecstatic that you're the three seed in this bracket. It just feels like this is the bracket that anybody, top five seeds especially, could make a run to the Final Four, and it wouldn't shock anybody. I mean, if Houston loses, no one's going to be shocked. If Kentucky wins, no one's going to be shocked. You know, it's that kind of mindset. Wisconsin, Duke, Kentucky, Marquette. I mean, any of these teams can get there, and none of it would be a shocker if they did, and none of it would be a shocker if none of them made it, because everyone expects Houston to fall. Everyone expects Kentucky to lose. People don't respect Marquette the same way they used to. Duke is not the team that they have been in the past. Wisconsin is kind of around, but again, you don't necessarily expect them to get there. That being said, Dad, I do have an upset in this game. I've got Florida losing in round number one, whether it's Boise or Colorado. I don't think it matters. I've got Florida going down here in round number one. Outside of that, again, I'm pretty much all chalk the rest of the way. I do have A&M beating Nebraska, but again, I don't consider a 9 seed an upset over an 8 seed. And I'm really looking forward to Kentucky in this. I'm looking forward to seeing how Houston, Kentucky, Marquette, Wisconsin, Duke, how they play. Because again, they're not as strong as they've been, although Kentucky has the roster to be great. They haven't played great every single game. Houston, the games they've lost have been ugly losses. So that being said, I think this is going to be one of the more fun brackets, but it's definitely, I think, the most open bracket as well. Upset wise, you got any upsets in round one of this bracket?
Well, I had two. One, I agree with you about Florida getting upset. I think whoever wins just down the road here tonight where they're playing this game, I think can beat Florida because I think Florida kind of overachieved to get where they're at. And another team that's kind of on a roll in this bracket, there are several teams that got on a roll here in the conference tournament, and NC State would be one of those. So I kind of picked them over Texas Tech, even though Texas Tech could be good. Another team they're favored, but Wisconsin have really struggled this year and then all of a sudden got on a roll in the conference tournament too. So there's several teams in this bracket. Nebraska, I think when they were in the finals also, so or close to it, and you know, so be interesting there with teams that are playing well at the end.
Do you think going to the Florida game? Do you think that having Boise State and Colorado, whoever wins that game, they have a little bit of an advantage because they haven't had their it kind of in rhythm, I guess. Do you think that matters in that game? Because like in the other game, Grambling and Montana State, they're the 16 seed. So that momentum doesn't really matter as much. But a 10 seed versus 7 seed, having played a game recently, maybe being in rhythm, does that play a factor into you picking them over Florida or not?
Honestly, not really. I mean, it could help, no doubt about that. I just say Florida is the kind of team I don't think they're that solid. And I think, again, you know, the thing about they will have momentum coming into it with the win, no doubt about it. And being a 10 seed, they're not that far behind. So I think they have a good shot, whoever does win that game tonight. And, of course, if, you know, Colorado plays some good teams during the year or so.
Yeah. I think, too, you know, Florida had the injury, the guy that broke his leg this past weekend in the SEC tournament as well. So they're not going to be at full strength. You have the emotion of that, you know, as I just, to me, they lost the SEC championship. I don't know. I'm kind of just down on Florida, I guess. But like I said, I mean, you get down to the Sweet 16. I've got the expected teams there. I do have Wisconsin beating Duke in the second round. But outside of that, and listen, James Madison is good. So if they beat Wisconsin, that will not be a surprise. I just felt like everyone was picking James Madison instead of Wisconsin, and I just don't think that's wise. Definitely possible. I just don't think it's super wise. So, anyways, you have any team advancing far that's a lower seed?
No, I've got the ranked teams again. I agree with you about Wisconsin. You know, from there. But otherwise, I would have the regular teams going on through there, I believe. So it would be Kentucky, Marquette, Wisconsin, and Houston.
Okay. Down to the Midwest, the Purdue bracket. If Purdue loses in the round one, Dad, I'm going to quit podcasting. I just don't think that's going to happen again this year. But needless to say, I do have some upsets in this Midwest bracket. I've got McNeese beating Gonzaga. I have Colorado State beating Texas as well. Those are the only upsets I have in round number one. But I think this is going to be – I think we're going to see some really good games out of this bracket. I think – I really like Creighton, but I think the Oregon-South Carolina game could be really good. I think Texas-Colorado State could be really good. I'm interested to see how Akron comes out against Creighton. I don't anticipate it being super close, but – Akron's kind of an annoying team this year. And then Kansas, Dad, I always just root against Kansas. So I'm hoping Samford makes a run, but I did pick Kansas to beat them. Any upsets in round one in the Midwest bracket?
Let's see. I would have TCU, which is not a big upset. Again, it's an 8-9 from there. And I think that was the only other. Oh, I have Colorado State over Texas. Okay. Also, Colorado State looked good last night, like I said, here in Dayton, and I think that could be good. I agree with you. You know, South Carolina, Oregon could be a really good game. That one could go either way. Oregon's been playing well of late. And I picked Gonzaga, but, boy, it'd be neat to see McNeese McNeese State, you know, make the upset there. And that's the kind of team that could. So it just depends how these ranked teams are, you know, how focused they come in and are ready to play. Because whenever you get the lower ranked teams, you know, they're excited to be there and they're ready to go. So, you know, you a team can't look past them, but I don't know that Gonzaga would. So,
yeah, McNeese State is a team that I really hope gets the brakes beat off of them. Now, I did pick them to win, but Will Wade's their coach. And you talk about horrible human beings. Will Wade falls into that category. So he's done a great job coaching. He's just a cheater and a scumbag. So I don't want McNeese to win, but I did pick him to win that game. This bracket, Dad, is I've got Creighton and Kansas in the Elite Eight in this bracket, and that pains me because I really don't like Kansas. But I like those two teams. Purdue is so beatable. Tennessee is beatable. So I want Creighton and Kansas to kind of shake things up in this bracket. I don't know. Do you have any surprise teams advancing any length in this bracket?
I like Creighton, so I have them moving on to the Sweet 16 there. Hopefully Tennessee will rebound here and play well, and I think they could make a run. They're in a good spot to do that. Purdue, you know, people say, well, you know, they can be beat or whatever, but they're a very good team. Yeah. So I think they could be hard to handle. And I have Gonzaga over Kansas because I have Gonzaga winning. So we'll see from there. Again, not a big Kansas fan, and Kansas has definitely proved they can be beaten this year. So,
yeah. Well, everybody has, honestly. All right, let's go to the Final Four then, Dad. Who do you have as your Final Four teams?
I've got Illinois, again, because I like them. Illinois, Baylor, Houston, and Purdue.
Interesting. Okay. I go UConn, Arizona, and then Houston, Creighton. And I just now realized the Final Four is in Arizona. I've got UConn beating Arizona, but I imagine the fan base for Arizona would show up very nicely in Glendale if they make it that far. And it would basically be a road game for UConn. They would travel pretty far for that one. But I've got UConn and Houston in the championship, Dad, with UConn taking the whole thing. It's not super common for the number one seed overall to be there as the champion when it's all said and done, especially as of late. I just think UConn's the best team in the country, and I think they have the best chance to get there. So I go UConn over Houston. How do you see the championship game breaking down?
Again, I at this point I pick Purdue. I don't know that I feel super strong about that, but I think again they have the talent to do it. So I had Purdue over Illinois. Again, I like Illinois, but the advantage they have is they're very deep. They play a lot of players. They have a lot of veteran players, and you'd like to hope that could make a difference in the tournament here as far as a team that could make a run. And they've played well here in the Big Ten at the end of the year. So we'll see. Again, they may go out quick from there. You know, we haven't talked much since the bracket came out, and don't want to take a lot of time with this, but were you surprised at all with the – and it's always weird how they seed people, the number one seeds. I was a little surprised about both Houston and North Carolina being number one seeds. But did that surprise you at all, or are you fine with that?
I was not surprised that Houston being a number one seed. I mean, they were the number one team in the nation for a while. They were always up there in the top four, even in losing in their tournament. To me, it wasn't the end of the world. So I don't have any problem. I don't have any problem with that. When you look at Houston, I mean, they're 30-4. Same record as Purdue. Well, one win more than Purdue. They're one of the top four teams in the nation. So I think that's right. North Carolina, I wouldn't say surprised is the word, but I mean, you're looking at North Carolina, Iowa State. Those are kind of the two teams really that you're looking at. Tennessee, but with, you know, Tennessee hurt themselves. They weren't going to make Auburn. Auburn's not even close to a one seed. So, Marquette, I guess, would have been the other one. I don't know, Dad. I don't know who else you can argue avidly for to be the one seed over North Carolina. In my
opinion. About Arizona?
Yeah, Arizona, but Arizona only has 25 wins. Houston has 30, Purdue has 29, Iowa State has 27, North Carolina has 27. So Arizona's only got 25 wins. That's not going to do it at the end of the day.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, I didn't think it was horrible, but when, these teams were getting beat in the conference tournament, I know that makes it rough on the people doing the selection stuff because, we're waiting till that happens. They already have a lot of things in place. So, but that's very interesting. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's always going to be fun no matter who's there and where they're seated. I don't really have a dog in the race this year. I mean, Kentucky, I guess, but I haven't really followed Kentucky. Reed Shepard is phenomenal. Dillingshaw is really, really good. I just anticipate disappointment. so there it is. But like I said, this is the easiest bracket Kentucky has been in a long time. It's not easy. No bracket's easy. But getting Oakland in round one shouldn't be a problem. Looking at facing up against Texas Tech or NC State in round two, they're better than both of those teams. Then you see them matching up with Marquette there in the Sweet 16. And I just – there's an opportunity. I try not to be too optimistic, though, this time of year. Anyways, so there you go. Our Final Fours, our championship predictions. And I've got UConn dad with Purdue overall. So we'll see how it shakes down when it's all said and done. And looking forward as this tomorrow we start getting the fun of March Madness. Well, some people tonight, I don't consider the play-ins as March Madness. So we'll see tomorrow as everything kicks in from there.
If you lived here in the Dayton area, you would. It's a big deal and always has been. So
I think it's fun.
And they do a good job with it. So
yeah. Yeah, I think it's fun and I don't have a problem with it. I just don't get excited about it. I don't pick the first four winners. I just pick the rest of the 64 as the way that I do things at the very least. All right, Dad, anything else with March Madness before we transition into something else?
No, just a shout out. We won't say a lot about the girls tournament right now, but a shout out to Middle Tennessee State. They went undefeated in the conference and won the conference tournament. And they're in an interesting bracket there, too. They play Louisville first, who they defeated last year, have not played them this year. And then if they were to win that, they're in the bracket in Baton Rouge with LSU. So that would be exciting too. But they've got a good team, and I've had a chance to watch some of the tournament, their tournament games. And so, a shout out to them to get in the tournament again, and we'll see if they can make any noise.
Yeah. Sounds good. All right, let's transition over to football, Dad. Since the last time we had a show, Aaron Donald retires. I want to start with that. The Rams defensive tackle, one of the greatest to ever play the game, one of the most dominant to ever play the game, announces his retirement. He has mentioned this before. It looked like before it was contract negotiation more so than actual retirement. This time he actually does it and retires. And I'm intrigued your thoughts when you heard about Aaron Donald.
He's a great player. Like you said, he'll go down. I think as you look at his career, there's been a lot of great defensive linemen. And, when you're as old as I am, you remember some great names from way back in the past. But Aaron Donald was just very dominant, could control a game himself. And I think, the Rams were a little bit surprising last year. And I know he didn't have as good a year, but I think losing Aaron Donald, boy, you just don't replace that right away. He's been a good player. I think he's been good for the NFL, I think, for the most part. And definitely a very dominant defensive guy. He was a guy that you knew could wreck the game pretty much by himself.
I saw a lot of comparisons to Reggie White with Aaron Donald, just where how he was able to just dominate grown men. I saw Reggie White, of course, too, but you probably saw more of him than I did. Well, you did. So, I don't know. How do you like that comparison?
Yeah, I think they played, you know, a little bit different. Aaron Donald was a little more inside, but again, he could move around and play anywhere. And Reggie White, they could move him anywhere on the line, and he could dominate it. That's a good comparison because they both were people who just could dominate people physically. You know, throw them out of the way and change the game. And to be mentioned, you know, with Reggie White, you know, is a very special thing. But I think Aaron Donald, you know, Aaron Donald will definitely be a Hall of Famer. And I think as you look back, you know, you start talking, you know, top dozen, whatever, defensive linemen someday, I think Aaron Donald will be a name people will mention.
Other movement, again, last week we talked about Russell Wilson and Kenny Pickett. Would there be a legit battle? How does that play out? Then, of course, as it always does, after you do a show, Kenny Pickett gets traded to Philadelphia, and Justin Fields lands in Pittsburgh. Now, Pittsburgh has announced that Russell Wilson's the starter. Justin Fields is going to be the backup. But I've listened to a lot of guys and who specifically say, listen, yeah, they're going to say that now. But at the end of the day, if Russ struggles, you know, Fields is the guy. So Russ is going to get the first chance at it, but it's always a competition. We can talk about that. That's fine. But I want to talk about Justin Fields because, Dad, I think this is a great situation for Pittsburgh. I think it's worth giving Russell Wilson another try. Plus, they really don't even have to pay the guy. So that's cheap. They get Justin Fields for a sixth-round pick. Now, it can turn into a fourth. Either way, I think it's a steal because I think Justin Fields is the long-term answer in Pittsburgh. Do you like what Pittsburgh has done with bringing both Russ and Justin Fields in? And how do you think it's all going to shake down this year and in the years to come?
Well, it'll be interesting. I think it is a good thing probably for Pittsburgh. I think it's going to be a very rough situation for both players. I think either Russell Wilson, Pittsburgh would be a great spot for him. I think Justin Fields, Pittsburgh would be a great spot for him. But to me, there it's going to be a tough situation. Either you got Justin Fields, you know, as a backup. Again, they haven't paid a lot for him there. You know, Russell Wilson, my thinking was this would be great for Pittsburgh. He'll come in. He's a veteran. You know, he's a guy that'll get respect of the team. He'll rally the troops, and Pittsburgh can have a good year. So, okay, he's going to rally the troops, and they're going to have a great year. But, you know, he's on a one-year contract, and you know, is he going to feel like, hey, I can take this team, I can help turn it around, and I'm going to be here for 3 or 4 years? And I'll have a chance to finish my career. If that's true, then Justin Fields is sitting there saying, you know, what am I doing here? And of course, they may be able to trade Justin Fields. But again, I mean, him coming in for a sixth round pick, maybe a fourth round pick, you know, it seems like an awkward position for both players. Now, like you said, you know, if what they're saying isn't really true and they battle for the starting job and Fields looks good or Russell Wilson has a problem, that's the thing. You know, I've heard people say, well, Russell Wilson, or this would be great for Justin Fields. He can sit and learn, okay? So, okay, what's he going to sit and learn here? He's learning from a quarterback that's had two miserable years. You know, it's not quite the same. I think Russell Wilson's got some left in the tank, and I think he could turn things around in Pittsburgh, but it just seems like, I mean, you know, I don't know how, I know the coach of Pittsburgh has a great, great relationship with players and is able to really motivate players. So if anybody can handle this, maybe he can. But I just don't know how you motivate both players when you know, both wants the same opportunity. Justin Fields doesn't want to sit for 2 or 3 more years. You know, he's already had, a couple of years on his career there. And so we will, you know, It just seems, I think either one of them by themselves, I'd say Pittsburgh's a great spot. Together, I just don't know for sure how this is going to work.
The only way this is bad is if they have bad years. If Russell Wilson does good and holds the spot and Steelers are in the playoffs because of Russell Wilson, well, obviously that's good for Russell Wilson. And for Justin Fields, he got to be in a stable environment, rebuild his confidence, and have the Chicago Bears stank washed off of him for next year when other teams can go out and try to get him. If Russell Wilson struggles, well, obviously it's probably the end of his career. Justin Fields steps in and plays well. Well, then Justin Fields is going to get a long-term deal with Pittsburgh and, again, be in a stable environment. If they both have bad years, that's where it's negative, and that's where it hurts everybody involved. I think it's going to be fine. It may only be fine for one of them versus both of them, but I think it's going to be fine. I think Russ has a chance to come in. I don't think he's going to be a top three quarterback, but I think he has a chance to come in and be what Pittsburgh needs, stability, and play solid football. Don't turn the ball over. And I think Fields is going to have a chance to have some stability for probably the first time in his NFL career, because who did he learn from in Chicago? I mean, my goodness, at least in Pittsburgh, he has an environment that should be more stable. Like you said, Tomlin is a good coach, first of all, and he has a good repertoire with the players also. And I think sitting, practicing, being in the film room with Russell Wilson is a good thing for Justin Fields, whether Russell Wilson plays well or not. Who would you rather have, Dad? Kenny Pickett, Justin Fields, or Russell Wilson?
I think Justin Wilson, or I mean Justin Fields.
I was going to say, you can't combine them. Okay,
yeah, a little bit of both of them there. So I think Justin Fields could be with a team and be the starter this year. Given the right coach and the right situation, I think he has the ability. He's gotten experience as a starter. Chicago was just a mess for him in a lot of ways. I don't know that it's, tainted the ability a lot. Is he going to be a passer that he needs to be accurate? We'll see. That would be the thing. I do think Russell Wilson could still play. But again, I don't think you have a lot of years left on that.
Yeah, no, I agree. I like Justin Fields better than all those guys. Kenny Pickett going to Philadelphia, Dad. How do you like that? Him being the backup for Jalen Hurts. I think it puts Philadelphia in a really nice spot, because I don't love Kenny Pickett as a starter, but I really, really like him as a backup.
Yeah, when Pittsburgh drafted him, I didn't quite understand that, as far as I didn't think he was a starter. I knew he was from University of Pittsburgh, and maybe that made some sense. Could he ever be a starter? Maybe he can be. But definitely, I think Philadelphia is probably a good spot for him, a good team. Again, a stable team. I don't think his style is probably the same as Jalen Hurts. It'll give him a chance to stabilize some. And the best thing for him was to get out of Pittsburgh. You didn't want to be there with everything in this situation. So
yeah, Pickett is not crazily dissimilar from Jalen Hurts. They are obviously not exactly the same by any stretch, but Pickett's a very athletic quarterback, and he famously had the fake slide. He's an athlete. And I think he fits in well. And just like Mac Jones, I like him as a backup a whole lot. It gives me a lot of confidence where if my guy goes down, I've got a guy who can step in that has some experience and can play some football. And maybe I don't want him for 16, 17 games, but if I got to have him for 2 or 3 games, I like having Kenny Pickett, Mac Jones, especially Justin Fields. I like those kind of guys being my backups. And how much of this is because of what happened with the Jets? I keep coming back to this. The Jets lose Aaron Rodgers 2-3 plays into the season, and they've got nobody to back him up. And now you're seeing the Eagles go out and get a guy with experience. The Jaguars go out and get a guy with experience. The Jets go out and get a guy with experience. Pittsburgh gets a guy with experience. It's like these backup quarterbacks now are becoming almost as important as a starting running back to make sure you have a guy that can be there and fill that role.
Yeah, definitely the Jets proved that you need a backup quarterback, no doubt about that. I think the quarterback is such a position that anytime you're going to lose your main starter, it's going to maybe be a tough situation. But if it's a deal where you're going to have him to fill in for a game or two, then yes, I think that's really good. Just like Cincinnati, when they lost Burrow, they weren't going to go to the Super Bowl again last year. So, but again, you want people to come in. Cincinnati stay competitive. So,
yeah. Minnesota makes a trade to get another pick in the first round. I believe they're at 11-23 right now. Everyone is saying they're trading into the top five to go get a quarterback. Most people are saying J.J. McCarthy. They bring in Sam Darnold as the replacement for Kirk Cousins. If you can put aside your Packer bias for a minute, what do you think Minnesota should do this year? Should they move up to get J.J. McCarthy or another quarterback in the top five? Should they try to get into the top three and get a top guy? Or should they hang out at 11 and see what falls to them?
I think they definitely ought to move up. I think that makes sense, probably why they made the trade they did to get another pick in the first round. I think even though you don't ever really know quite what Minnesota is thinking and what they're going to do, I think move up and get a quarterback and move up as far as you can, depending on, how they have them ranked. If they have four or five guys they like, then I think that's good. Hopefully teams will learn from the last couple of years, because you've had teams that have, boy, we traded up and this is the guy we want, and that just didn't work out at all. Trey Lawrence and things like that. So
Trey Lance, so
you have to know, you have to be confident. I don't know that you can just go up and say, we'll take one of these quarterbacks. I think you have to have one or two of them and you say, this would fit us and our system. And then you need to look at what do we have to do to get them to get to that spot. And again, I haven't looked at the draft a lot. There are going to be several teams, I think, in the market for quarterbacks. And this is supposed to be a good year for quarterbacks. So, it could be interesting chess match moving around. But again, is everybody going to rank them all the same after the first guy? Probably not. But again, we've seen that, with Lawrence, with Mitchell Trubisky. I mean, we've seen people move up and this is our guy. And it not only was that not their guy, it just didn't last very long. So,
well, even last year with Carolina, they traded up to the one. They should have taken C.J. Stroud. They didn't. And they're kicking themselves for it. And are still trying to make that work, of course. And they still may make it work. I don't see why. Well, it goes back to where do they have them graded at? To me, you don't have to go up to the top five. You got 11-23. To me, it makes sense. Why don't you wait? Why not take a quarterback this year? Give Sam Darnold a year, and maybe next year you're picking higher. You don't have to trade capital to get up and get a top tier quarterback. Is J.J. McCarthy better than the number one guy next year? Is, where do you have Bo Nix and Michael Penix graded out? I'm shocked that we're hearing about J.J. McCarthy going in the top five, because I don't think he belongs in the top five. But we'll start doing some player rankings and draft stuff. Hopefully next week is the plan for that. Any other major NFL things you want to talk about before we move on?
No, like I said, a lot of things have happened. A lot of people have signed. A lot of people, seems like maybe more free agency have moved around than has in the past. So it'll be interesting once we get, for long will be to, workouts and then training camp. And teams are going to look a lot different, but we'll just see, we'll see how it works. So, and again, several new coaches this year. So just be new looks in a lot of conferences and a lot of things there.
Yes, indeed. Baseball started this morning out in Korea. The Dodgers and the Padres. Dodgers take game one 5-2. Still, it just seems weird having a regular season baseball game and it not barely being celebrated as opening day. So we'll wait to celebrate opening day in America. But baseball's here, and excited about that. Like I said, fantasy baseball up and rolling every Sunday night at 8 p.m. You can tune in to the Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show. We'll get you ready this week. We'll talk about guys we missed on in drafts and looking ahead to some waiver wire guys to go ahead and flag and keep an eye on throughout the season as well. Dad, let's go into our segment, final segment of the night. You're going to stick around with us for this one. And it's a segment we call the Sports Stove Final Lap. Sports Stove Final Lap is presented by Righteous Felon Jerky. Time to join the flavor revolution, and you can do it at righteousfelon.com. Use the code STOVE15. You're going to get 15% off your purchase. Bristol is one of my favorite racetracks, Dad. I still am a little bitter because many moons ago, Dad, you had tickets to Bristol that you turned down because you couldn't go and you didn't feel like it was right for you to pass the tickets off to someone else. And that someone else should have been me, but you declined those tickets. So you owe me a race at Bristol at some point. It was a phenomenal race. A lot of fun. I listened to the first half of it on the radio, where actually me and you met up on Sunday afternoon, exchanging children. You were dropping off my kids. I was picking up my kids. And so we listened to the first half of the race on the radio, watched the second half of the race, and it was an absolute blast. Everyone's talked about it all week, all the other podcasts and things like that, with the wire tear, the tire wear and the strategy that came into place because of it. I had a lot of fun watching it, and I thought it was a fun race as well. I know you didn't see all of it, Dad, but your thoughts just generally on Bristol this past weekend.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Like I said, I've enjoyed, you know, watching NASCAR so far. I've watched a little bit, you know, of all the races there. And the Bristol, you know, I didn't remember a lot about it. I knew it was a short track, and I knew normally there was a lot of bumping and banging and stuff. But I was thinking as we were picking Tennessee people and everything that, you know, it's a short track and you know, it'd be hard for cars to move up and catch up and move around. And boy, that wasn't true at all. I was very surprised as I watched with that, you know, somebody thought, oh no, they've dropped back. And then next thing you know, a few laps later, they didn't have any trouble coming up, you know, coming up through the crowd. Now, as it got down near the end, then it was a little harder to move around. You had everybody, you know, blocking everybody you know, at that point. But I was surprised at the cars, you know, moving around. Again, you know, it was a lot of things interesting about it. I know I've listened to your show, and guys you've had on, it's been very good. I know a lot of talk about the manufacturers. If I remember right, it looks like Toyota had a good day. Ford won the race, but the Toyotas really looked good, and the Chevrolets didn't finish as high this time. But again, it may be, you know, with a short track or whatever from there. But, it was a lot of fun to watch. And part of it was because, you know, rather than, like I said, I went into it thinking, okay, the three or four cars that are at the front, that's going to be the ones that are going to do it. But there was a lot of cars were able to keep coming back up from the back and, getting in the race and, you know, some of the guys that have started out hot this season, they were that way at Bristol too. So, even on the short track. So it's going to be an interesting year because it looks like there's some guys that have surfaced here that are going to be factors in like maybe most of the races.
Yeah. So Toyota won the race, Joe Gibbs Racing. Denny Hamlin wins the race. They were up there running 1, 2, 3, 4 there for a little bit, it seemed like, as well. Ford ran well. Chevy, again, two races in a row now. Chevy's not really looked great. They didn't finish horribly. but didn't look great either. Josh Berry had a run there. He got the fresh tires, and I mean, he was splitting guys, just flying past guys like you were talking about. As soon as they got those new tires, man, they could just move. Anybody on older tires did struggle. The tire story was fun, and I've enjoyed listening to the professionals talk about it throughout this week. They had a lot of fun as well, and it was the most fun I've had watching a race this year. A whole lot of fun there. This weekend, we transitioned to the Circuit of the Americas, COTA, down there in Texas. First street race of the year, or road course race of the year. And this one, Dan, and I was talking on the phone earlier today with you, I don't feel like this is a road course that is leans towards the road course drivers quite as hard as the other road courses do. And I don't have any great statistics to back that up or anything. But I feel like you still have the potential for anybody to win here at Circuit of the Americas. Tyler Reddick won last year, and so I expect him to do well. Chevy, you know, has struggled some the last couple of weeks, but I think they'll have a decent showing. They just have those drivers, the Daniel Suarez and the Shane Van Gisbergen and the Kyle Larsons of the world. So I expect them to run well in COTA, and I expect Toyota. I expect all the manufacturers actually to kind of maybe be a little bit more spread out this race, more so than what we've seen the last couple races, with Toyota kind of being the head dog and Ford coming up in second. Dad, you've been doing fantasy racing with us this year, and I'm curious, have you thought ahead to this week and the kind of drivers that you're looking at for your fantasy lineup?
Well, I looked at it a little bit today just to see. And again, like, you know, I told you, I kind of like to wait till after qualifying, but I have tried to look because I know there are different people on a road course and different people have done well. So, you know, I'll continue to do a little research as we go along and just see. But probably I'll use some drivers I haven't used before. But again, a lot of it, it's always good for me to look at qualifying and at least see the people that look like, you know, they're up there near the front. And then, of course, pick a couple people that aren't, because you never know. So,
yeah, I always go after qualifying and make adjustments as needed. This week, I'm going to go with some guys that I've used. I've only used once, actually, this year, these guys. Tyler Reddick, who won last year. Kyle Larson, who's probably the most talented driver out there, I think, right now. And then I'm going to throw Chris Buescher in there, the Ford, as well. He has some good experience at COTA. Then you're going to see some other guys. I got three guys that I haven't used yet this year. Daniel Suarez, I'll plug in here. Of course, he won in Atlanta, but he's known for his road course driving more so. Michael McDowell, who has had a really good start to the year, I've not used him yet either, so I'm going to put him in my lineup. And then in the garage, I'll take the long shot. I'm going to put in Shane Van Gisbergen, who won at Chicago last year. He's running only, I think, 10 races this year in the Cup Series, but comes over with all kinds of road course experience. So I've got him in my garage that I can move in. The other interesting guy that's just up for this race, he'll be around for a few races this year, and driving for Toyota this year is Kamui Kobayashi. I was going to put him in, Dad, but I just felt like, you know what? I haven't seen him at all. So I trust SVG a little bit more. I'll put him in the garage and we'll see how some things shake out. But I really like McDowell this week. I really like Reddick and I really like Larson. Suarez, Buescher, and SVG are the guys that I'll kind of wait and see how qualifying goes, and see if I need to make some adjustments there as well. So I'm looking forward to it. To me, COTA isn't a great race to watch always. Chicago was a lot of fun last year, so maybe the road courses are growing on me a little bit. We'll see how this one shakes down. I've really enjoyed being back into NASCAR, watching and enjoying just the things that are going on. This year has been fun, especially with the variety that we've seen there as well. Dad, any closing thoughts on NASCAR for the week?
No, I would. This fantasy league that you have us in is really good. And to me, that really helps you keep up with drivers and more what's going on. So I would encourage people who watch our podcast, if you have casual interest in NASCAR and say, I just don't know that much about all the drivers and I can keep up with that, think about getting in this fantasy league because, again, it has a lot of helps. It's easy to use. And it really does keep you up. It makes watching the races more exciting, just like fantasy does, and watching any of the games. So it helps you. It helps you pay attention a little more to that. And I've enjoyed it, and I would encourage people maybe to give it a try.
Yeah, and you can join the league. You'll be in a little late, so you'll be working from behind, but. You just go to NASCAR.com, click on Fantasy Live, and search for the Sports Stove 500. That's the name of the league. And you can get in. Chris Prince is currently leading the league. He was on the show a couple of weeks ago. We'll have him on again. Dad is second right now as well. I'm sitting nicely at fourth, and our friend sitting at third has finished third. I think every single week this season he has been third place. And he holds third place in the league right now, too. He makes a comment on Twitter after every race. I'm in third again. So there you go. But it's a pretty tight league right now. Actually, my son just joined this week. He'll enter for the first time this week as well. So join us over there. The Sports Stove 500 on NASCAR.com, Fantasy Live. All right, that's going to be it for today. We will be back Sunday for the Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show. The plan is to be back Monday with the Sports Stove Local Hour and Wednesday here at the Sports Stove Podcast covering, we'll look at some NFL draft stuff. Major League Baseball will be in swing as well. So we'll be talking about those things. And of course, March Madness as it continues to climb through. Follow us on social media at Sports Stove on Twitter and Instagram. Check out RighteousFelon.com to pick you up some jerky. Use the code STOVE15. Good luck to your brackets. Good luck to your baseball teams. And curse the Cubs. Thanks for tuning in to tonight's edition of the Sports Stove Podcast. Until next time, we'll see you around the Sports Stove.